Blessed are the weird people.
Poets.
Misfits.
Painters.
Writers.
Troubadours.
For they teach us to see the world through different eyes.
This is Blessed Are the Weird on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Jacob Nordby.
Hello. Hello, my friends, wherever in the world you might find yourself today. This is Jacob Nordby. You're on Blessed Are the Weird People radio show hosted by Empower Radio Network. Thanks for being with us again. It's Friday, and I don't know about you, but it's been a fast week. And so I'm glad. I'm always happy when Friday comes because we get to talk with exciting, interesting guests and learn more about ourselves, learn how to show up with our brightest, most authentic selves in the world. And today is no exception. We have with us today, he teaches and uses a tool. And in just a moment, I'm going to ask her to help correct the way I pronounce this because I may do it wrong, but I think it's called Enneagram. And this is a self-discovery tool, and it helps give us a tremendous insight into who we really are and how we show up in the world. And Rosemary has a long history of, you know, corporate background, and then she really went on this journey to authentic self and felt that she wanted to come out and teach and help people in the world learn who they are. So we're going to find out more about the tool and more about Rosemary. She's also the co-author of a book called No Mistakes. So Rosemary, welcome to the show. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, Jacob. It's great to be with you.
Well, wonderful. Well, you heard me try to pronounce the name of the tool you use. How did I do?
You did well. You did well.
Really?
Ennea. Ennea. It's a Greek, from the Greek word, and it means nine. Enneagram.
Oh.
9 points. Gram means, Ennea means nine. Gram means point. So it's a nine-pointed universal, nine-universal personality system. That is, and they call them universal personalities because they're found all over the world in every culture. And it's an ancient and time-honored tool that I learned in my pastoral studies master's program at Loyola University in Chicago. And it's very well received really everywhere. And I'm honored to work with it. I am the instrument. And it's amazing that it's been 2,000 to 4,000, it's disputed how old it is, but 2,000 to 4,000 years. They're not 100% sure because it used to, this is a gross oversimplification, but the 9 points had originated in the sky. And I'm not going to go into a lot of that because I want to get it down to the earth. But, you know, it was as above, so below kind of a concept. And the 9 points became, first it was the Enneagon and then the Enneagram, and people can look up history. It's really fascinating. But, you know, just the most important thing to know is that it crosses a lot, or bridges a lot of faiths. It bridges, you know, the Sufi masters taught the Christian mystics. I think Ramon Lull learned it from one of the Sufi masters, and Brotherhood of the Bees was a sect in Islam because they collected and stored knowledge and such. And anyway, the Kabbalah, in the Kabbalah and Judaism, it has been compared or likened to the tree of ninefoldedness. And I said this to you at the Be the Change conference too. Agnostics and atheists like it. If you're not spiritually inclined and you're listening to the show, it's fine. You would more than likely love the Enneagram as well, because from a standpoint, a psychological standpoint, these nine universal types are nine ways of being. That is, we are all of these types. We are good and loving.
So Rosemary, before
you, yeah, you know, I want to get right into teaching.
Oh.
Go ahead. I'm you're the interviewer.
I know. Thank you. Yeah, we're gonna circle back. But before we go there, I want to ask you quickly, and this show will go by so fast today, so I want to make sure we get this part in. Talk to me about what was you came to, what led you to want to take a deeper into yourself? Because it looks like you have backgrounds in the corporate world and all that. What happened that said I had to know something more about myself?
Well, when I was 18, and I was a college freshman, I had a clinical depression, and it was a very dark night of the soul. I was loved. I had a great family, but my parents just kind of ran a tight ship, and there was a lot of black and white. My dad was a professor at a university, a nearby university, and we all got our tuition free if we went to that university. So there was kind of an obligation if we wanted to go to college, that's where we had to go. Well, I kind of tried to exercise a snippet of independence and went to a junior college for a nursing program. When I was there, I was unhappy. I didn't feel like I picked the right thing. I was kind of a mess, and it was all snowballing. And finally, it just came to a head. And one day when I was on the keyboard, every letter on the keyboard reminded me of something painful, and I just put my head down. And the counselor came in, and she talked with me, and the long and short of this is that she said, I'll have, you know, everything will be all right. You know, she knew that at that age you can be confused, but, you know, this was something deeper. And she said, your dad or your mom or your parents will be coming. And my dad walked in, and he said, what seems to be the problem? And I said, he knew I wasn't feeling well over the past weeks. And I said, I don't know who I am. And he said, you're a child of God. And I said, I don't know what that means. And I didn't. I was in a very dark night. I was confused. I was having identity crisis. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I was just lost. And I felt, you know, some kids at my age went and did drugs, but I just kind of like had a breakdown, breakthrough. And I went into a hospital. It was a psychiatric hospital, and I came home on weekends, but for about 3 months, I worked very hard at untangling sort of my family system's flaws and so on. And I worked very hard, and it was a very fruitful experience. In that, I came to always want to live from the inside out. And so from that point on, you know, I did go back to college, finished at the university that, you know, we got the free tuition, married the love of my life, had 4 beautiful children, changed careers from human resources and career consulting to this hearing this deeper call of wanting to work with people on a more deeper level of their emotional and spiritual growth.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what brought me to Loyola. And then at Loyola University, I became certified to teach and coach with the Enneagram. And that's been 12 years. And so my family's almost raised. My youngest is 17, and I'm really pouring myself into this more and more, writing a book, et cetera. But the chapter in No Mistakes is called The Call. And it is the experience of this call that took place that was rooted in that clinical depression, but then would resurface, and that it finally became very loud in my midlife, and I listened to it and hence started doing this work. You know, so I'm the wounded healer archetype, you know, but way more healed than wounded.
So yeah, that's a fascinating story. I'm happy we heard that part of it, Rosemary, because I think, and I've said this to other guests before who are doing work in the world, that a lot of times people listening they so deeply want to reach out and express themselves and find out who they really are. And they just assume that people who are teaching and speaking and writing, you know, probably have had a real, you know, some real cohesive, smooth ride. And I like to share, or I like to hear about the actual journey, what it took to get there. Now, because our time is so short today, I want to make sure we really connect. So you gave us a bit of a framework of understanding the Enneagram, sort of where it came from. And I'm fascinated by the history of that. Let's talk about why should I care? In other words, if you're somebody listening right now, if they want to connect with you, for example, and get an Enneagram chart run and understand themselves better, what's it going to do for them? And before we go there, let me just make sure that you know how to find Rosemary. You can go to spiritdrivenliving.com. Okay, so Rosemary, tell folks who are listening right now, why should I care about the Enneagram? What's it going to do for me?
Well, first of all, the Enneagram will teach you about these nine types, of which, you know, you all can experience. So let's just name the types. The good reformer is type one. Maybe you'll discover yourself just as I say the words. Maybe something will resonate. Good reformer is type one. Loving giver, type two. Effective achiever, type three. Original romantic, type four. Wise observer, type five. Loyal skeptic, type six. Joyful epicure or joyful adventurer, type seven. Powerful protector, type eight. And peaceful mediator, type nine. So we, are, of course, are all those types. From a spiritual point of view, those are nine manifestations of the divine. God is all of those things. From a psychological point of view, those are nine ways of being. We are all good and loving and effective and original and wise and loyal and joyful and powerful and peaceful. But when you take a profile with me and have a consult and a reading, you find that you have your home in one of these types. And the reason that it's so profound for a lot of people is that even for the most aware among us, you know, you find out that you have patterns. And you, the seven main things you learn is you learn about the nine types with their resourceful and non-resourceful aspects. You learn specifically about your type. You learn your wing style, which is the neighbor of the type. So if you're a peaceful type, you either have a powerful wing or a good wing. You have both wings, but one is dominant. And it's the next door neighbor of the type. You learn, most importantly, what your emotional passion or driving energy is, and how, and with the reading, you learn how it works so you can make the most of it. Your area of avoidance. Everybody has an emotional passion or a driving energy, and every type has an area of avoidance, which falls under shadow. So you know, again, the most aware of us, if I asked somebody who you thought was very aware, do you know what your area of avoidance is? Now, somebody might know, but if they've not done their Enneagram, it's likely they didn't. I considered myself to be very aware, and when I learned it, I didn't know. And it's so helpful to know what your area of avoidance is. That is, what is your pattern? What comes up for you? What is this thing that you avoid where you are either in denial or in shadow about? And, you know, shadow means you're either unaware or in denial, you know, of it. So you learn this emotional passion, you learn this area of avoidance, and then the most important thing that you learn is what I call a wellness map. And it's a map that shows you where you go, what you attract. If you believe in the law of attraction, it's what do you attract? When you're already safe and secure, what graces do you bring in more? What do you attract more? And so the wisdom of the Enneagram says, a corresponding type feeds you, floods into you, gives you grace and resourceful characteristics and tons of gifts when you're already centering yourself. Conversely, when you're stressed, the wisdom says, you domino down and attract within or receive from another corresponding type. But when you're safe and secure, you receive from the high end of a corresponding type or the resourceful end. And when you are stressed, conversely, you receive from the low, so you kind of domino down. And so there is this map, and when the corresponding type is coming toward you, it's completing you. It's helping you get to your authentic, your higher, which is your authentic self, the self you're called to be. And when you're dominoing down, stressed, going away, you go away from your authentic self. It's extremely profound. When you see it and you get it, you're like, that, you know, people say to me, how does this know my inner map of reality, after I give them the simple but very comprehensive profile? And I say, because you authored it. You know, you self-rate it. So this wellness map is the meat of it. You also learn your preferred instinctual center. If you're a heart, head, or gut kind of person, you usually have you're best at the area that you have the most practice in. But the paradox is that's also the area that you have on overdrive when you're in a trouble spot. So if you're a head mm-hmm. person, meaning you that the triad, these nine types are divided into three in terms of these instinctual centers. If you're a loving type or an effective type or an original type, you get heart. Your heart is big, and you're very well practiced in your heart. But when that's at the low end, you get drama going. Five, six, and sevens, that's the wise, the loyal, and the joyful types, they are head types. They get monkey mind going at the low end. And eight, nine, and one, that is the powerful, peaceful, and good types, they get gut reactions. So they have a lot of practice in their gut. They're really good in their gut, but it's also where they are when they're in a trouble spot, because they get knee-jerk reactions, you know, hence the word jerk. If they're not always right when they get these reactions. And they say, oh, I wish I wouldn't have felt that way. So in a consult or in your own self-study, you can learn all of this about yourself. You learn your type with your resourceful and non-resourceful aspects. You learn this emotional passion or driving energy, and you learn how to make the most of it by managing it, not it managing you and running you all over town. And then you learn this area of avoidance so that you can name it, claim it, to tame it. You know, you name it. Yes, I'm a peaceful type, and I avoid conflict, you know, you might say, if you're the peaceful type. And every time you name it, and every time you're clear about how you don't love tension, and you work that through, then you have a better chance at managing your emotional passion, which is kind of a sloth, a self-forgetting, a laziness of self. You know, peaceful types merge beautifully with other people.
So,
but when
Rosemary,
they avoid conflict to a fault, they are not being heard. They're self-forgetting. And so this is on a deeper level than you've ever... I remember going in for my master's program, Jacob, and I turned my paper over and I thought, oh, I'll be a loving or a good type. I'm a mother, blah, blah, blah. And it said the joyful adventurer. And I read on this comprehensive reading. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is exactly what I do. And so it's just very powerful. So to answer your question, I know that was a long way to answer the question, but the short answer is you learn your Enneagram so that you can come from the gifts that you have come here to pour out, and so that the highest part of you can be expressed through you, and that when you're in these pieces of gunk, as Sue Mortar calls it, when you're in these places of gunk, you can identify it quickly and do a better job of course correcting, you know, like get that GPS, kind of inner GPS course correction going, and say, like Jerry Seinfeld used to say, don't go there. I don't want to go there. No, not going there. How's that work for me? Not well. You know, I'm going to this other place that's my heaven on earth, not the place that brings me the hell on earth. So it's like that.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, we are fast coming through to the last part of the show here, and you know, Rosemary, I've done many types of personality tests myself down through the last 10 or so years, and you know, the Myers-Briggs or Briggs-Myers, I never can quite get that quite straight, and the a number of other ones, and each one of them has given me some real value in terms of knowing truly how to live my life, and understanding better the weaknesses and understanding better how to work with other people. And it sounds like what you're describing is a really good tool for exactly that.
Yeah, I mean, I believe it's that and more, and it's really also great for relationships, because, you know, lots of times we want to project out onto others what's going on with our own self, and anything you can do to feed and complete, or not complete, because we'll never be complete, you know, maybe till the end of our life or other lifetimes for that matter, but the whatever you can do to feed the process of coming to your own authenticity and coming from that empowerment You know, it's just very freeing. It's the truth. Your inner truth is the most important thing you have in life. And when you come from that, and you have tools to help you come from that, so that your connection to your spirit is really strong, and that you protect that connection to your spirit, there's nothing like that. There's no price on that. You know, it's what, and we know that emotional wellness shows up in our bodies now. We know that if it's, you know, maybe not in your 20s or 30s, but certainly in midlife, you got a knee or a shoulder or something, you know, and if you don't take care of your emotional wellness, it will show up in your bodies. So your body. So I so encourage people to do just that. Take really good care. Get to know the foundational relationship with the self is the one from which all, from whom, you know, all others are drawn. So if you want to have good relationships with others, get an excellent one going with yourself.
Yeah. So again, let's just make sure folks know how to find you, Rosemary, and that's spiritdrivenliving.com. And I know you have a way folks can hook up with your
email
list and reach out directly to you.
Sure. And they can email me a question to, at rosepetalmusic. It's rosepetalmusic, rosepetalmusic@gmail.com.
So yeah, that's free. Excellent. Well, so take a minute here and share with folks just directly, right from your heart. Tell our folks who are listening right now what it means to live authentically, what life looks like when we find out who we really are and then show up that way in the world, would you?
Sure. It's freeing. Any burdens that you carry, you know, whichever type you are, because we all have them. Different types, different personality types have different ways of carrying these burdens. But it's a way of laying your burdens down. That's really the best. That just came right through me. I think from some wonderfully wise person up in heaven. I don't know who it was, but just came right through me. And I think that. That is what it is. It's laying your burdens down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, laying your burdens down. And then when you lay your burdens down, then what happens?
You're free to be who you are. You're free to be this wonderfully, you know, you let the spirit of who you are express through you. It expresses through you, and it's not difficult. There's a lot of ease with it. It's like, you know, when you try on a shirt and it just fits, you know, it just fits. You're not like, oh, this, I don't like how this fits. This collar hurts or this cuffs are too long, or it just fits. So you fit yourself. You fit, your spirit just fits into you. And so connecting personality to spirit is doing your Enneagram as a way to connecting to that spirit and then to protect that connection so that that authenticity just course and streams through you, and you're healthy, you're healthy, and you're happy. Most importantly, there's an ease and a health and a happiness that goes along with this work.
Well, and that's, to me, when whatever journey of personal discovery we take in life, and however it is we find it, and again, the Enneagram sounds like such a wonderful tool for that. To me, that's the fruit, and that's the ongoing fruit, is to be able to be here and to be able to fit inside of ourselves and not worry so much about how that fits in with the expectations or the pressures of society. Isn't that your experience as well?
Yes, it is. And, you know, I mentioned to the producer when I was talking to him before that because he said he's a busy guy and he was, you know, he's very cute and all that. But I said, maybe, you know, you're the three, the effective achiever on the Enneagram. But the thing is, the three, everyone has the sunny side and the shadow side. And the shadow side for the three's sunny side is that they bring to the table, they teach us how to get the job done. You know, it's just do it. They walk the talk. And on the low end, though, the three is a chameleon, to your point, and tries to be too many things for too many different people, and loses themselves in the project. Sometimes they lose the connection, sometimes along the way they were taught that projects, you know, were extremely important, and our the United States of America is this personality type. You know, we lead, we're strong, but threes need to know that feelings trump image or role. Feelings trump image.
So, Rosemary, we are right at the end of our show. We're going to hear the music playing any second now. So,
okay.
I want to thank you so much for joining us today on Blessed Are the Weird Radio. And really appreciate you being here and your work in the world. Folks, join us again next week. We'll have Paul Boynton, who has been a guest before, and we have an exciting conversation planned with him as well. Thanks for being here right now, as you are, and I encourage you to go get your shine on. Take care.
Thanks, Jacob. Love you. Bye.
Bye.